Welcome to Look Ahead Radio and Viewpoints Around the World. My name is Tom Arms, and in a moment I'll be joined by my old friend Lockwood Phillips. This week we're talking about Trump's immigration policy and the separation of children from their parents. I hope you find our talk interesting and perhaps even entertaining. Thank you very much for listening.
Welcome to Look Ahead Radio with Tom Arms and Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints around the world with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. And as always, to remind the audience, this portion of the program has been pre-recorded to accommodate Tom's sleeping schedule in light of the fact that he is easily 5 hours ahead of us. Probably far more than that in time, in light of the fact that he's always looking far ahead into the future. But definitely, in physical schedule, he's 5 hours ahead of us. So as we begin this program this evening, he is probably snoozing away. And as also, just to make quick note here as we begin the program today, yes, I have been out of the studio for the better part of this week and will remain so, with the exception of today's program, as I recover from a minor surgical event, all going well. And I will, for those who have made comment and sent me messages, thank you very much for your kindness and your thoughts. I am healing quickly, probably much faster than Tom even appreciates, but we'll get that note from him as we begin the program this afternoon with Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms. Tom, good afternoon to you. Actually, well, good evening, because it'll be evening for us as well.
Good evening to you. And good evening to you. And I noticed that you've already put down the fact that you're not feeling well, so therefore you know, you won't be in your top form tonight, and it's a chance for me to score a few points.
Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, when given the opportunity to do this of all the programs, I said, no, I've got to do it, because even with one hand and one arm tied behind my back, I can easily handle this. I'm looking forward to it. But before we even get into that, what's the situation there in London? What's the weather?
The weather's lovely. You know, we're in the midst of summer. I'm about to go camping with my scouts this weekend. The weather is supposed to be absolutely perfect. It's a lovely summer this year.
No, that's interesting.
So far.
By the way, just we now have more knowledge about Tom Arms. He's a scoutmaster there in London. By the way, Tom, what has been the fallout of the inclusion of girls now in the Boy Scouts? And by the way, is that inclusive of the United Kingdom?
Oh, we've had it here for decades.
Oh,
decades. And as a scout leader, I can tell you, I actually like it. The girls are a real civilizing influence.
Well, that I will applaud that remark. Yes, and of course, boys can be very uncivilized. That's an interesting observation.
The girls are among the most useful members of the group.
Whoa. As a male, former scout, boy, that's disturbing. I don't want to hear that comment. All right. Let's go on to other items and related to a civilized environment. One, I think that's top of the mind for much of our audience, and I would assume probably even there in the European community, the issue of immigrants here in the States. And by the way, there was an executive order released earlier today eliminating this separation of parents from their children. Of course, that issue of whether or not these children truly are the offspring of the adults is, you know, yet to be really proven, but accepting they are the parents just for the moment, for the sake of argument. What is the coverage of that there in the European community?
Everyone is totally appalled. Mrs. May stood up in Parliament today and described it as deeply disturbing and wrong. And there were There was a move to stop President Trump's visit to the United Kingdom next month. She said it would go ahead, but that she would be raising this issue.
Well, now, of course, the other aspect of this, and I'm curious of knowing if this has been discovered or disclosed in the press, that this is a policy that was actually established under previous administrations, not just under this administration.
Well, you know, a lot of people have been saying that, but various newspapers and broadcasters here have said basically that is, excuse me for saying it, Lockwood, fake news on the part of President Trump, that it's a law or procedure that was put in place by the president and the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, according to what's been reported over here. And that there has never been a real policy of separating children from their parents and putting children into cages. For President Trump to say it is just wrong.
The term cages is a little bit of a stretch. They are on the floor in large areas.
Wire cages.
Wire fencing. You can parse that any way you want. But also, there are photos, of course, of children that were kept in a similar situation under the Obama administration, which, of course, have been disclosed here in the press in the States. But to your point, the continuing narrative, if you will, has been that this is a Trump issue. Now, the quick question for you in comparative analysis, Tom, and again, Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio with us on Viewpoints Around the World. How have the children of immigrants and asylum seekers been treated there in the European community? And what are the circumstances in comparison to what's happening here in the States?
Well, the families will go into camps. They go into camps or internment centers, but they'll be kept together as families.
Uh-huh.
They're not separated. So, you know, I mean, it's inhumane, as the president of the American Pediatric Society said. No, in fact, what he said was it's child abuse.
Mm-hmm.
To separate a young child from his parents.
You know,
there is no international law governing this. And the reason is because, I think the reason is because no one's ever thought anyone would do it.
Well, you know,
it is so inhumane, it's unthinkable.
Well, it is interesting, and I've got to make observation of this. It happens pretty regularly here in the States with families who have been accused of particularly drug abuse, and quite often the state steps in and removes the children from the homes. But it happens.
Yeah, no, of course that happens.
But,
a child is considered to be in danger, that happens over here all the time.
Well, now wait a second.
You know, social service says it says if the family life is dangerous to the welfare of the child, then it's best to separate the child from its parents.
Well,
this is not a case of the child being in danger. It's a case of people who are applying for asylum and their child is being taken away from them.
These are families who have made an arduous and dangerous trip from Central and South America through Mexico under arduous conditions, which one would quickly identify as being dangerous to the children, as well as the other participants. It is fascinating that the danger that these children have been involved in, probably, and quite frankly, even if their home communities, is totally ignored. But now when they come to the States, we are putting them in harm's way. It's just the observation, it's the narrative, which is very interesting. And of course, I gather that's really the narrative that is being portrayed there in the European press, and I assume also the United Kingdom as well.
I gather we also hear that the opinion polls are very much against this in the States. I think only 23% of those polled approve of the policy in the U.S.?
It is very low. And of course, as I mentioned a few moments ago, an executive order just removing that program.
Yes, under a great deal of pressure.
Well,
and it looks as if from this end, one of the BBC correspondents said that Trump was using the children as pawns in an attempt to get through his wall, his policy on DACA, the Dreamers, and various other immigration policies.
Let me take a quick break on that. We're going to come back because I want to talk more about the whole issue of immigration and the challenge it poses, as we're reading here, in the European community as well. Because the real issue here is what to do. And I'm just curious how the European community is approaching this, because you likewise particularly as a result of the challenges there in Syria and North Africa. There are some really troubling situations. We'll get back to that in a moment with Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. Welcome back to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. And a moment ago, just to remind folks, this portion of the program has been pre-recorded. Tom, of course, joining us from London. I am normally out of the studio this week, but wanted to be here for this conversation with Tom, specifically for the conversation we're having right now. I am recovering from emergency surgery, but doing well and well enough to be on the program with Tom. And with one arm and one eye tied behind me, I'm able to handle it. I think I'm doing a pretty good job, Tom. You may not agree, but back to the issue.
No, I don't.
Back to the issue and to your comment related to the worldview of how the U.S. is handling immigrants. And this is a problem that's been building there in the European community for quite some time. What is the future of the issue of immigration? It all seems to be from south to north in both theaters, of course, in the U.S. and in Europe. And what action is taking place there in the European community that Europeans think we should follow in light of the fact that there is some real political fallout, particularly for Angela Merkel?
Europe is having immense problems with it, just like you're having immense problems with it in the U.S. And the fact that Europe is much more crowded than the U.S. just exacerbates it. You know, we've had from North Africa in the last year, we've had about 250,000 people come into Europe from Italy or through Italy from Libya. A lot of the immigrants are being held in Turkey still. They're still being held in Turkey. They're in Eastern Europe. They've just passed a law in Hungary which says anyone who helps an immigrant, gives them advice. When I say just passed, I mean this week. Gives them advice, gives them any legal aid of any kind, will go to prison. That's how strongly they feel about it there. They have armed guards and razor wire along the border. So the Hungarians are very much opposed to taking any immigrants. Angela Merkel is in trouble with her coalition. Mm-hmm. Her partners, since 1947, have been a party called the Christian Social Union. Angela Merkel's party is called the Christian Democratic Union, or the CDU. So they've been in coalition, the CDU and CSU, since 1947. And now they're talking about breaking up over this issue. That's how strongly felt it is.
Wow. No, the issue here, and by the way, it was noted, a recent Washington Post article that give credit where it belongs. Ben Ball, of course, studio manager here, pointed out that the U.S. paid over $750 million to foreign countries, and I'm not sure what one or several, to sort of satisfy the immediate concerns of the communities from which these immigrants were coming from which they were coming. I'm wondering, we've talked about this in the past, the influx of immigrants is not solving the core problem. Now, in the problem of the U.S., I quite frankly think that more than anything, it's political rather than truly economic. However, and this is my observation, in the case of the European migration and asylum seekers, it's a problem of war. Now, I grant you, there are challenging economics in South and Central America, but not like we're seeing in Syria, Eritrea, Lebanon,
Yemen.
And Yemen, etc.
Sudan,
exactly.
Libya.
This is a situation that, quite frankly, is going to be, I would argue, harder to solve because you've got to solve it at its source. Your observations.
Well, they have had they've given some money to Libya They set aside, I think it was something like $150 million to try and create jobs in Libya so that people would stay there. The problem is that the government just isn't stable enough. And so, you know, where's the money going? You know, the government is not stable enough to set up the structures that will allow the economy to grow so that people can stay. It's a serious problem. And I think that is the long-term solution. What the short-term solution and medium-term solution is open for debate. But the long-term solution is to try and improve living conditions and working conditions in the Southern Hemisphere, whether it's in Mexico, Guatemala, or El Salvador, or whether it's in the Sudan and Libya and Mali.
No, the other aspect of this, and I mentioned the political ramifications in the States, but there are ramifications there in the European community. And you have been a very popular and very supportive of particularly Angela Merkel. Her political future is literally on a razor's edge, according to what I've read. I know that Emmanuel Macron of France is also having some challenges. What is the political ramifications if Angela Merkel were to leave? And not only from the issue of how Germany handles its asylum seekers and immigrants, but how that influences other countries, Poland, Hungary, France, etc. And then finally, what impact does this have on the whole concept of the European Union, which is really tied up in this whole discussion?
Okay, well, let's start with the European community or European Union. And that is, they have to reform, and they know they have to reform the immigration issue. At the moment, an immigrant arrives in a country, which is usually Greece or Italy, and if they move to another country, then the other country has the right to return it to the country in which they landed.
Yeah, of origin.
Which puts an unfair burden on countries like Italy and Greece. And so there's a lot of pressure to change that. It's called the Dublin Accord. Now, that's that. So there's a lot of pressure to change that agreement. The problem is that countries like Hungary and Poland, especially East European, Austria, don't want to take any immigrants at all. None.
And by the way, let me just make an observation. They say that, and yet the European press, strikes me, is spending more time demonizing the United States, which is trying to work through the situation, rather than these other countries. I find that fascinating.
Oh, no. They spend a lot of time demonizing the East Europeans. Believe me.
Okay.
That's in fact, one of the items on the agenda tonight, if we have time to get to it.
Uh-huh.
No, the East Europeans are constantly being raked over the coals by the mainstream press here in Europe for the same things that Trump is being raked over the coals for. So that is not correct, Lockwood.
Okay. Do it quickly. Go ahead.
On the subject of Angela Merkel, I think if the CSU pulls out of the coalition, there will have to be another election. And the issue of immigration will be very high on the agenda. So it will be a very important election and an opportunity for the Alternative for Deutschland to make its mark.
All right, we're going to come back with more here in just a moment with Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment.
Observations of an Expat by Tom Arms from LookAheadNews.com. Thank you, Melania. Thank you, Ivanka. Thank you also, Kirsten Nielsen, Secretary for Homeland Security. Thank you for engineering a reversal of the inhumane policy that tore 2,842 children away from their immigrant parents. No thanks for President Trump, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, White House Chief of Staff John Kelly, or shadowy Prince of Darkness Stephen Miller. They were responsible for the heartless decree that turned vulnerable children into pawns in the president's immigration battle. The separation decree was in the making for well over a year. John Kelly first publicly proposed it in May 2017. Stephen Miller took up the baton with a vengeance. He has taken over from Steve Bannon as the ultra-nationalist, alt-right, anti-immigrant chief White House strategist with the ear of the president. Miller has been whispering away, "Immigration, immigration, immigration, that is the key to victory in the midterm elections." For President Trump, immigration means congressional funding for his big, beautiful wall, laws to allow the speedy deportation of illegal immigrants, and sweeping changes to legal immigration. He is increasingly frustrated that Congress has refused to cave into his demands, especially as illegal immigration figures are climbing after a drop in 2017. In May, the president launched a vicious and lengthy tirade against Homeland Security Chief Ms. Nielsen in front of the entire cabinet. She, he said, was to blame for the rising immigration figures. Ms. Nielsen sat there and took it on the chin, but according to sources was close to quitting on the spot. She's reported to hate her job. The much-maligned Attorney General Jeff Sessions saw an opportunity to weasel his way back into the presidential good books. On May 7th, he told wannabe immigrants, "If you cross the border unlawfully, then we will prosecute you. If you are smuggling a child, then that child may be separated from you as required by law." For 6 weeks, Ms. Nielsen, Ivanka, and Melania said nothing, possibly because they thought that such a policy was so cruel and inhumane they would never make it past the threat stage. They were, of course, wrong. And on June 17th, Ms. Nielsen broke administration ranks and tweeted, "We do not have a policy of separating families at the border. Period." First Lady Melania then waded in with her statement. "We need to be a country that follows all laws, but we also need to be a country that governs with a heart." At the same time, First Daughter Ivanka was whispering in her father's other ear that he was making a big mistake. The result was the presidential order reversing the Attorney General's separation order. It was significant that the two officials at the signing ceremony were Ms. Nielsen and Vice President Mike Pence. Conspicuous by their absence were Stephen Miller, Jeff Sessions, and John Kelly. But the war is far from over. In fact, the pro-immigration lobby may have achieved only a pyrrhic victory. Melania, Ivanka, the mainstream media, and an international chorus of dissent may have forced a change on one part of Trump's immigration strategy. But their opposition has moved the issue back to the top of the American political agenda, which is exactly where Trump wants it. Donald Trump needs to keep his support base mobilized, activated, and energized in order to retain control of Congress in the midterm elections. Momentum at the moment is with the Democrats. The prize of a victory in November and the possible impeachment of Trump has driven them to win by-elections in Virginia and Pennsylvania. A get-tough immigration policy is the number one issue for the Trump base. It is what put him in the White House. 55% of Republicans supported his family separation policy. 91% of Democrats and 68% of independents opposed it. Trump recently warned the Democrats in a tweet that if the midterms are fought on the immigration issue, they will lose. He may be right.
We now return to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints around the world with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. This portion of the program has been pre-recorded, and yes, it is being done today, June 20th. I am in the studio for just this purpose. I'm looking forward to this continued conversation with Tom Arms, again, of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. Tom, we were wrapping things up with Angela Merkel, and we're going to get into other issues of politics and all the issue of immigration. But it is interesting, Tom, populism seems to be the issue of the day. We've debated this, you and I, for quite some time. Is the populist movement growing in the European community?
Yes, it is very much growing. And it's based upon nationalism, and it's very, very conservative. In some countries, more conservative than what there is in the United States.
And final question before we move on to other items. Is it perceived that Donald Trump is the cause of this, or is he simply an exemplary of it?
He's a contributory cause, yes.
A contributory cause? My goodness, Brexit was happening before Donald Trump showed up, which leads me nicely.
Now, I'm not talking about Brexit, but I'm talking about what's happening in Eastern Europe.
Yeah, but Brexit is really part of the populist movement, which is a nice way to segue into that discussion. What's the future of Brexit?
The future of Brexit? Well, they had a vote today in the House of Commons, and Mrs. May won it.
Really?
Now, this was a very important vote. The vote was basically a repeat of the vote last week, which was whether or not Parliament would be able to decide whether or not to have a second referendum if the government has not negotiated a deal with the European Community by the 21st of January of next year. So if they're in a situation where there is no deal, there were a lot of people who wanted to have a second referendum, but the government won the vote. However, what they won is still a bit vague. Both sides say that they won. What seems to be at the moment is that if no deal is negotiated, according to the Brexiteers, then the UK will be able to leave the European Union without a deal. And a statement will be made in Parliament, but they won't be able to do anything other than vote on the fact that the statement was made.
Oh.
Unless the Speaker of the House decides that it should be more than that and allow the statement to be amended, in which case an amendment could be tabled calling for a second referendum. But it would be up to the Speaker of the House at the time.
One of the items associated with Brexit, and I've been watching
this. Complicated.
It is complicated, but I've been watching also with interest on Brexit about the fact that there might be, I mean, what was the term? A Brexit dividend and National Health Service benefiting from that in the UK. And of course, National Health Service
is... That's what Mrs. May is saying. We were told that there would be another £350 million a week. Coming back to Britain as a result of leaving Brexit, and that this would all go to the National Health Service. And she's claiming that, in fact, that there is such a Brexit dividend. She's not saying it's that much, but she's saying there's a Brexit dividend. And with that money, she is putting another £20 billion. That's about... nearly $30 billion into the NHS. It's a huge amount of money. However, a lot of people are disputing that it's a Brexit dividend,
right,
including her own Chancellor of the Exchequer, and that's the same as the Treasury Secretary, who says basically there is no Brexit dividend. The money is going to have to come from increased taxes. It's going to have to come from increased borrowings, and it's going to have to come from cuts in education, defense, and social services.
Wow.
And to use his, to quote him exactly, quote, there is no more money.
Well, now, Tom, again, Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio with us. We've got several other items to touch on. This is the, by the way, according to your notes, and I was able to make that good connection. This is the 70th anniversary of the National Health Service. What is the financial condition of the National Health Service? And by the way, we have a similar situation here in the States related to just Medicare. National Health Service is, of course, a single-payer system for all of Britain, whereas Medicare is a single-payer system for the aged. But back to the issue. What is the financial condition of the National Health Service?
Until this week, dismal. But they have injected this new sum of money into the National Health Service, which basically allows for an increase in spending of 3 to 4% above the rate of inflation.
For how long?
For the foreseeable future.
Okay. It's going to be...
And basically, it was previously just about holding its own, if that.
All right.
It was definitely in trouble. Waiting lists were growing. It was taking up to 4 hours to wait in the accident and emergency if you had an emergency. Wow. It was taking longer for ambulances to reach people. Nurses were leaving. Doctors were leaving.
Wow.
One of the problems, we have a lot of doctors who are trained here in the UK, but because of the problems of the National Health Service, they move to Australia, America, and Canada as soon as they have their qualifications. And so we have to import doctors from India and Pakistan and the Middle East.
Wow. All right. I want to move on to a few other items. Let's talk here about Polish government crackdown on the judiciary.
Well, there we have indeed a populist government. The Law and Justice Party, the acronym for which is PIS, don't ask me how to say that in Polish. But basically, what's happening is various judges who have basically been involved in cases in which PIS politicians have been tried and found guilty of crimes, they are being harassed. In fact, there have been attempts against their life. And the what's happening is that the Law and Justice Party, which is the governing party, the populist right-wing government party in Poland, is taking away the independence of the judiciary.
Oh, yeah.
They've also set up a branch of the Supreme Court to judge the judges.
Oh, my land. All right. I just thought that's an interesting development. Moving on to a few other items. I want to get to them before we have to go to the next break. Interesting story today. General Electric was removed from the Dow, the Dow Industrials, and which is a stunning story. And of course, I've got to find out more about this. But you have a note, interestingly enough, associated with that. General Electric is being fined in France. For why? For what purpose?
Well, they bought an energy company called Alstom, a French energy company. And there was a lot of talk about this, you know, within French circles, should we allow an American company to do this? Because it was a big company. And General Electric said, well, we're going to create 1,000 jobs before the end of the year.
And?
And so people said, well, if you're going to create 1,000 jobs, it's worth it. And they've created exactly 323.
Right.
And so the French are really, really angry about this. And I think they're angry about it also. People are drawing conclusions, you know, this is just another part of American perfidy. You know, it's all tied in with tariffs and Iran nuclear accord and Paris climate. And so they're going to fine them.
All right.
They're going to fine them 50,000 euros. That's about $50,000, roughly equivalent, for each job that is not created.
Oh, okay. Well, now we're talking real money. Okay. Since you brought up the topic of tariffs, let's talk about that for a moment. A lot of discussion here in the States. The stock market took a dive over the past 2 days. Interestingly enough, bottomed out, beginning to rise again because of the of changes in the economy in the U.S. What impact has the story on the tariffs, the president's debate with China predominantly and with NAFTA had there in the European community?
Well, it's not just in the U.S. that the shares went down. In Shanghai, they went down 3%. They took the biggest hit.
Okay.
The average here in Europe was about 1% down. I haven't got the latest figures, closing figures for today. But on Friday, the European Union is going to announce details of the retaliatory tariffs against the U.S.
Very interesting. They're anticipating that. Still hard feelings then.
Oh, yes.
I can't understand why. All right. Let's talk about another issue there very quickly. The UN and the U.S. yesterday removed itself from a UN commission, Human Rights Commission, if I'm not mistaken. The observations, coverage of that in the European community.
I think basically, it's been a long time coming. The successive administrations have not been terribly happy with the Human Rights Commission. And for all the reasons that Trump and Nikki Haley and Mike Pompeo said, you know, Venezuela, Saudi Arabia, I mean, you know, they're not supposed to be members. And in fact, the way it was set up, they should have been removed. However, you know, and the fact that Israel, you know, a lot of people here in Europe do not like the way that Israel is constantly beaten over the head in the Human Rights Commission. It is the only country which is basically on a permanent watch list by the commission. Having said that, it does do a lot of good in other ways.
How?
And it'd be a pity that the U.S. isn't involved. It has done a lot of good in Yemen and Syria, in Myanmar, in Turkey, and places like that. It has produced reports which have encouraged money to be poured into refugee camps there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, I think everyone says that in a way the Trump administration is right, that it all the things they say are correct, but at the same time, there are things that they didn't say which should have been taken into account.
All right. We'll get back to a final wrap up of things here in just a moment with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio here on Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. Welcome back to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and LookAhead Radio. We're coming into the final segment, the part that, well, quite frankly, I always enjoy because there's always, and I'm looking at Ross, thumbs up on this, there's always a twist to the story. And so stay with us. This is, of course, being pre-recorded, and yes, it's being done today, June 20th. I'm in the studio just for this one conversation with Tom Arms. Tom, quick question before we get into the Nudin. Yes, Nudin, Nude-in, as it like a march in or a walk in or a nude in. We'll get to that in a moment. But before we do that, Tom, got to tease it with what's the status of James Comey? I know he's there in the European area promoting his book. So quick question, is he getting much coverage? And two, is there much interest of what's happening with the Inspector General's report, which, quite frankly, takes Mr. Comey to task? Your comments.
You know, he got a lot of coverage. He was interviewed on BBC Newsnight and Panorama, and he was also interviewed by De Welt and a lot of people back in the States before he set off for Europe. Mm-hmm. So I think probably he's not getting that much more additional coverage on his book tour of Europe. As for the Inspector General's report, the way it was reported over here is that there was something for both the Trump and the Clinton campaign, that he was criticized basically for releasing the second or starting the second investigation when he did into the Clinton email scandal or whatever you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
Story, and that he shouldn't have done that. But at the same time, he was not he went beyond the bounds of normalcy in his relationship with Donald Trump. So there was something for both the Democrats and Republicans, was how it was reported over here, which means that he was equally bad to both sides. So he was probably right down the middle.
That's an interesting take. Quick question before we move to the nude in, and that is, does it in any way ameliorate, if you will, the image that many Europeans have about Trump and the Russian investigation? Or is it just taken as a political issue?
It's taken as a political issue.
Okay. I'm not really surprised by that. Just to remind folks, Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and LookAhead Radio with us this afternoon and joining us from London, England, a little in advance of when this is airing live. Tom, always love the last item of the day, a nude in involving 11,000 Australians.
11,000 Australians on top of a Woolworths car park.
A Woolworths?
Outside of Sydney.
All right, Woolworths still...
As part of an art festival.
Okay, no, wait. Woolworths. Woolworths. Okay.
Yep.
And
they initially, Woolworths was against it, but there was such an overwhelming response by Australians wanting to tear their clothes off and be photographed that they caved in. And this is being done by New York photographer Spencer Tunick, who's famous for these great nude ins. He's had several. One was on a Swiss glacier. Can you imagine that?
No. None of the,
they took off all their clothes and then climbed onto the glacier. Thousands of them. 18,000 in the city center square in Mexico City.
Do you know, of course, throwing in the glacier throws in another image. Dom, you may or may not recognize this. I'm thinking of the word lemming. I mean...
Well, I'm thinking of the word blue because another one of them was on the British port of Hull when it was named City of Culture. And he painted them all blue. Everyone had to be painted blue. But if you think about it, on the glacier, they didn't need to be painted blue.
No, absolutely not. All right. It's a nude inn. That is, everybody is showing up nude. 11,000 Australians. When is the photograph? Has it already been taken?
The 9th of July. 9th of July, you can still apply, Lockwood. I would, but I'm afraid I'd be rejected. I don't like the idea of rejection. You know, they take one look at my love handles and I'm out.
Well, I tell you what, I'll leave it at that. Unfortunately, I can't fly for a while. Tom, as always, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. And I always look forward to this last segment of our conversation of viewpoints around the world. Tom, have a great evening.
You too, Lockwood. Hope you're feeling better soon.
Definitely. Viewpoints around the world with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com, Look Ahead Radio here on the talk station FM 107 AM 1240.
Look Ahead Radio is a production of the Talk Station.